Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Christine Marie. I'm not Christine Marie. Who am I?
A trick question, isn't it?
Who am I in this world? I don't know.
Didn't realize you were an existentialist.
Yeah. I was watching Samantha Bee on her show, and she was talking about how she was interviewing Glenn Beck.
I loved that interview.
And he goes, I'm not an optimist. I'm a catastrophic.
I'm a catastrophic.
Yeah. And she goes, oh. And then yesterday I was listening
He said, I'm an optimistic catastrophic.
No, he didn't say that.
He didn't?
No.
Oh, no.
He did. I was listening to this one interview with Tim Ferriss, and I wanted to see who it was with, and I didn't look it up before I went, unfortunately. I want to say, you know, I know you're not supposed to say what is real, but what you'd like to have happen, you know, kind of like Trump, you know, President Trump, you know, like.
Alternative.
Well, the truth is, I want to say I'm not that great with names, but I don't want to reinforce that in my brain.
Right.
But the truth is, I'm not that great with names. I'm great with stories. I can remember somebody's story, but I have a hard time remembering someone's name.
And I'm thinking Alice B. Toklas.
You think that's who it could be?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go look it up real quick. And so forth. Why not, right? Kara Swisher.
Kara Swisher.
With a K.
Oh.
Anyway, but she thought of herself as a optimistic pessimist. And I thought, well, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, deep down, I think I'm an optimistic pessimist.
That is exactly you to a
yeah.
T. Because I've heard you say, listen, you know, be happy. It's a short life.
Yeah. Be happy.
It goes by quickly.
It goes by quickly. And so you're like, oh, what does she mean by that? Exactly.
Optimistically pessimistic.
Yeah, I'm an optimistic pessimist. But so I'm Julie. You're Christine Marie. We're mother and daughter. We're here on Life with the Girlfriends. And we love it when you spend your Sunday nights with us or on a podcast and doing your workout.
I think that I'm thinking, screw the workout, put your feet up, have a cup of coffee or some hibiscus tea.
Yes.
And just sit down and have a good time.
And if you're listening to us and you're going, wow, they're quieter today than usual, I've been noticing that I've been amping up our mic volume a lot when we're talking. And so today I intentionally put our mic volume down.
Oh, so, you did?
Yeah, just a little bit. A little bit. So I just felt, you know, that let the audience control their own volume. It doesn't have to be. I don't have
George Orwell, 1984. Although I remember hearing on the news this week that you cannot literally get a copy of George Orwell's 1984 anymore because there's something in it that bespeaks what is happening right now on the planet, especially in America. And so everybody's trying to read it and get a beat on it and all that stuff. But
it's so funny. What we like to do on Sunday nights is kind of like take the nuggets of what we learned from the week, and you always say, that kind of hurt. It kind of hurt.
Well, whenever you do pull a nugget out, it does hurt.
It's like a cavity.
Who are we, though, Julie?
Right.
Existentially.
Well, and existentially.
Other than mother and daughter.
Well, you're a psychotherapist. You're a coach. You got certification at the Yin Yang.
You're a teacher. Yep. You're getting your master's in instructional design.
Yay.
And you're almost there.
Almost done.
You're almost there.
And when
depending on when
you're hearing this, I could be already done.
And you're a coach. As well.
Exactly.
And you're one of those coaches that, you know, you like to crack the whip a little bit. I've noticed on people.
Yeah. Well, because what I do notice is that most people are like me, which is we have 1,000 distractions, such as we're going to talk about later on, Stranger Things. And sometimes you need somebody in your corner saying, turn off that binge show.
Yeah.
And
not just turn off, is
turn off
TV.
That binge show. Stop watching Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Or stop watching Texas Flip and Flop.
You busted me. Texas Flip and Move, honey.
That's
sorry.
Move and Flip or Flip and Move.
Flip
whatever.
And Move.
Yeah.
Well, we were reading a statistic this week that said the average person who's complaining that they don't have enough time watches 45 plus hours of TV
with
a week.
With an additional 7 hours of recorded TV.
Of recorded TV. And if you're over 65, that figure goes up about another 10 hours or
so. 10 to 15 hours,
10 or 15 hours. And if that really is true, damn, there's no reason that you can't get what you, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Turn off Texas Flip and Move. Don't make me turn off or, my Texas
or do
Flip
it,
and Move.
Or you do it, like exercise while doing it. Do yoga while watching Texas Flip and
Move. You multitask,
and,
right?
Multitask, exactly. And but when I read that, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I mean, I fall, you know.
Are you saying you need a coach to coach you?
I have a coach
the
that
coach,
coached me on that.
The coach
it's called
coaches
Mama.
You. Big Mama.
Yeah. She's the one that keeps saying, so did you do this yet? Did you do this yet? Did you do this yet?
And I have edited myself out, right? Because I do not like to be what I perceive as a nagger. I just like,
right.
And you're like, no, Mama, I want you to. You don't understand. I need you to.
Well, it is crazy because there's points where I do want you to do it and points where I'm just...
You're muttering under your breath, I wish that bitch would stop.
Exactly.
It right now.
But I think it's just common nature, you know, human nature. And then so what I... I've activated all the things around me. I've got a huge amount on my plate.
Overwhelmingly
no,
huge.
but totally by my own choice. I mean,
yeah. But if if this gets accomplished in what you want,
yeah.
I mean, it's so awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And so I've got my everything I coach people to do around my house. I've got my notes saying you are responsible for every thought, every action that you have. You know, this is your goals for these times. You know, And not the old person, is it the older self, but the person that just wouldn't mind chilling for a while comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you don't really have time to chill at this moment. Mm-hmm. This is sort of, you're sort of at the 10-yard line and you got to, you know, and the clock's ticking down. You got to get this stuff done and move forward. And so I don't have to push for long. It's sort of like when I read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek.
Right.
I think, and I remember this page, like page 116 or 170, it said, now there's going to be times in your life.
It was page 214.
What, 214?
We remember that now because it's like, we're like, the 4-hour work week. Oh my God, I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
And then like,
and comes page 214.
And then it's like, oh, by the way, there are going to be times you're going to be like, burn the midnight oil, put in 100-hour work weeks to get this stuff done. Of course there is. Of course there is. And then you set it and forget it. But even then, you're not setting it, forgetting it. You're checking and so forth. So it is just, I think when I'm in my life, getting my master's done, doing our business, things like that, big goals, it is a little freaky. Because as someone who is an optimistic pessimist, deep down I know, it doesn't really matter anyway.
Right.
None of it matters. You know, an asteroid can come tomorrow. We could all die. You know? And now...
That famous asteroid.
Yeah, famous
asteroid. Or the zombie apocalypse, right.
Well, and the truth is sometimes when you have something catastrophic like that happen, as we've read in Sebastian Younger's book, The Tribe.
The Tribe, yeah.
When you have those catastrophes occur, literally... life becomes so myopic and equalized.
And focused and equalized, right.
People feel good.
Yeah.
They feel
part of something.
They feel part, and they feel happy.
Yeah.
Happier, I guess.
I don't
happy,
know.
Like just focused.
Yes, yeah.
Equalized. We're all here together, in it together.
There's less mental issues.
Yeah, there really is. There's less, which I think is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. Only when you're out of it and you're going, okay, how do I design the rest of my life when... You know, when you have your basic needs met, what is that hierarchy of needs? Maslow's hierarchy.
Maslow's
needs.
Hierarchy.
Yeah, Maslow's. I mean, when you have those basic needs met, and then you're up to the other parts, which is, you know, your spirituality part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are more difficult questions. And
it is true, and you know, and especially in. I really don't know, because I was saying in this day and age, most people have their basic needs met, but that's not necessarily true. I mean, they do, but it's not sustainable. It's always like, oh man, I'm making it right now, but I could lose my job. I could do this. And that focus takes away from things like how to contribute to the community.
Right.
How are my spiritual well-being that people need to work on to feel better, you know, to feel...
Well, and you talked about this, and I think it's a very valid point that where we have to train our brain into... We can always, at any given moment, think and focus on the fact that we're really only one step away from having things go bad.
Right.
And yet, being on this planet long enough, bad stuff happens, things move on, and overall, I've been okay. You know, I mean, we don't have to go to the place where it's like, oh, we always feel that we're just one bad thing away from everything just falling to hell in a handbasket, you know, or whatever the saying is. And we were listening to Joel Osteen, who has a he's not a pessimistic or an optimistic pessimist, I would think. But
no.
He's an optimistic optimist.
He really is.
Yeah.
We really like him, right, overall.
He has my theory, my philosophy.
He has our philosophy.
Yeah.
When you and I are, when I'm healthy, you know, in the sense that everything is all my, you know, things are, you know, on all engines are working good and all that stuff. Everything okay, honey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe in Joel Osteen's message, because as being law of attraction coaches as well, and sometimes on Sunday nights, we let it all hang out, because we're real people. You know, we're not just robots who at every given moment always looks to the positive, always looks to the positive, because it takes work. I mean, it really does take work,
but,
and a choice.
And maybe for some people it doesn't. You know, maybe they're very Pollyannish, but for us, I mean, especially for me, I truly work at it. I truly make the commitment. And when I seem to fall down the rabbit hole, I try to catch myself before it's too long of a climb back up.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate people like Joel Osteen, because it comforts me.
Right.
I go back to, oh, I remember now.
Right.
I remember that.
Focusing on my future, not my past.
Right. He talked, when we listened to him last week, he talked about we tend to feed our history.
Right.
And to feed our misery.
Right.
And to go over the deep disappointments and stuff. When in reality, we make that shift and we start feeding our destiny. We feed our future. We feed our hopes. We feed our dreams. And some of us, maybe most of us, you know, we've long ago forgotten that we had a dream that was important to us, mm-hmm. and we got bogged down in, you know,
right. And I think
the stuff of life, which
it's okay,
it's
too.
Okay. It takes.
I think that's where I happen. Go. It does happen, and it takes focus not to get bogged down in the dailiness of life. We have job, we have responsibilities, we have family, and those are the things that ebb and flow in our life. There are times when I see what people have done to, quote-unquote, make a big jump. And a lot of times is they've had to leave their environment. They've gone someplace else. They've cut off. They moved to Thailand.
We call it moving to Thailand.
Yeah. And what that means is,
for us, we know what exactly that means.
Because sometimes you can't change in the same environment where the life that's comfortable is at. I mean, if your life wasn't comfortable enough, you wouldn't be living it.
And the environment has its own energy. You know, like, it's difficult to imagine not watching 40 hours of TV when almost every room has a TV or some device that you can have on in the background. But but sometimes you have to move to Thailand.
Right.
You have to shift things so differently.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I don't know, in 2 or 3 years, does it no longer look like Thailand anymore? Does it look like the same old, same old?
I mean, you always say you take yourself with you.
You always, I think I said that, but Billy Joel might have said it first. It's always, you wake up with yourself every morning.
Yeah.
You know, and oops.
Yeah. It's still me? What? Hello? it is interesting. I was thinking about changing your environment and we talk about watching TV because
it was the big research thing of the week that
we noticed. And what was fascinating about it is that people are now and now working at home more and more. And so I think you just have your TV on as background noise, you know, and I was listening to this one business report at noon sometimes. And what was hysterical is that people are now, they work from home, but there's now these satellite places that you can, quote unquote, for like $150 a month, rent a desk and a cubicle.
Oh, that's so
great. So
you can
go away and do your work.
Oh, my God. It's come full circle, hasn't it?
It's come full circle.
I mean, in my day, it was the epitome of coolness to be able to work from home.
Yeah.
You know, there was that big image of you and your pajamas at the kitchen table with a big cup of coffee, you know.
And succeeding, right?
Right.
And then now
it's like, oh, the cool thing is to have
a little cubicle.
Micro office.
Exactly, a micro office. Oh, that was the funniest thing ever.
That is funny.
And I don't know where I read this at. They kind of had a number that was an appropriate amount of work that a person loved to do and still felt they had time enough away from work. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 32 hours a week or 30 hours a
week.
Nice. And I don't know if it was 3 to 4 days a week, mm-hmm. but by doing that, you mm-hmm. felt you were productive, contributing, your brain was still being sharp, mm-hmm. and yet you had enough time away from work to do your life, you know, to keep things moving, keep things going, and so forth.
You know, I was watching the Celebrity. No, what was I? I do watch Celebrity Apprentice, but I think this was Andy Cohen, and he always has like a quote unquote bartender in the back. And this one, I can't think of his name, but he just opened a new menswear line, and you know, mm-hmm. fashion for menwear. But they were talking about Celebrity Apprentice and mentioning Carson Kressley, who is on it, and he's doing a great job,
yeah,
by the way.
I like him a lot.
And the guy behind the bar said, I can't think of his name, I mentored Carson at Ralph Lauren, you know, over 20 years ago. And he was kind of a genius then, he said, a marketing, you know, genius. And I started paying attention to people who are making it.
Yeah.
And there seems to be that magic 20 years. Oh, I started 20 years ago at this and just kept on. It's like when sometimes we think of these people that just come on the scene and like, mm-hmm. how come we're not lucky? Why aren't we YouTube sensations?
Yeah.
But they've been doing this kind of stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And at some point, and I don't know if what happens, if it's cumulative or what happens, are you crack the code just enough that you get sort of propelled into that category where it looks like you've quote unquote made it, you know.
Right.
But it does, it you know, I'm you mentioned the 32 hour, you know, a week, but I hear a lot of times people going, man, I worked hard to get where I'm at. I put in many, many hours, and it was sometimes it was brutal, and I didn't want to do it, but I did it, and I honestly I appreciate those stories,
right?
Because a lot more because for me I'm always trying to read the signs, which is this must be for me because it's not working out, and all this stuff. But there's those people that are going, F it, you know,
right?
It's gonna work out.
I'm
gonna do this.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
And you hear that tenacity.
Yeah.
And you hear that there's a great course that I love looking at the great courses, mm-hmm. all the different ones. And there was one called The Will to Power.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know. And then it came to me as I was really just really ruminating on the will to power, I thought, wouldn't it be great? Because I believe in grace, and I believe in God's grace and God's mercy. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to even extend that with the will to power, but will powered by grace?
Oh, yeah.
And to feel that one.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of us realize that even though we've worked really hard, and there always is that element, you may call it luck, but call it grace. That
and
there's no other reason other than the grace of God that it happened.
And because we know times that there have been people we know where they've worked really, really hard and something bad happens, not because of anything else, but just something bad happens. And it takes them several years to recover. And, you know, they have to. They have no choice. They have no option. But it takes time.
Right.
And so this is where I go, God, don't take life so seriously. You know, we have grace is a part of it. Faith is a big part of it. I mean, you know, in Matthew, well, in many places in the Bible, it talks about how, you know, whatever you ask for, believe and you shall receive.
Right.
So it's in faith.
Right.
Believe it, believe it. And in Law of Attraction training, we really brought that home. And then Abraham Hicks training, which is very much
similar.
Very similar. You know, you ask for it. You've asked for it once. You believe. You from this moment on, you believe this is happening. Don't look back. Don't go back. Don't.
It's like don't feed your history.
Yeah.
Feed your destiny.
And so many times through the day, people can feed their history. Like, well, this is not going to work out today. This can't work out.
It didn't work out last week. It didn't work out.
We didn't move it forward enough last week. Didn't move forward enough this week.
Right.
You know, it's...
And you go to that same old circular spot.
For sure.
That you know so well.
Right. And so you just go, okay. And it's everybody. You know, I mean, it takes real determination to... If you're going to choose to break out of what you're doing already, I mean, I know people who are just really content doing what they're doing, even if they complain about it every day,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't like it. They're in some kind of formula at their job, in their family, that is very comfortable for them, and they don't expect much more from it.
Mm-hmm.
They may not like it, but they know the end result. You know,
yeah, you're right.
I know that when I'm 67 or 65, I'll have my pension. If I'm a teacher, I may not have liked the last 40 years, but I might want to complain. But I know where I'm heading, and I've mm-hmm. plugged myself into this. You've talked about this before. Know your program that you're working in.
Yes.
And if you know your program and you played by those rules your whole life, then mm-hmm. it's going to end a certain way for you.
Right.
It's when you believe in a certain way and then you behave a different way, and then you get all confused and messed up.
Yeah,
you know?
Cognitive dissonance.
Exactly, for sure. So I was listening to Tim Ferriss interviewing Kara Swisher, and she is 54 years old, which I don't know why I say that, but it's just she mentions it in the podcast, and she's a Silicon Valley reporter, and I guess she's known as one of the most fiercest reporters out there.
Ooh, I'm so scared. Yeah. Silicon Valley.
And it was interesting because I really understood more about Silicon Valley and how I'm grateful I don't live there.
Yeah.
I used to love San Francisco. I still do love San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm not part of that culture, mm-hmm. you know, in the sense of...
It is a very different culture. And I think I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I know that the mere fact that the money is ridiculous.
Extreme.
Incredible. Extreme. And we're talking billions.
And it's not made of our generations.
No.
Or, you know, the next 20 years I make this billion.
No.
It's made, these are, boom, one day I'm not,
these are
the
kids
next
that
day
were
I
living
am.
In their parents' garages. Yeah. Or.
And so you have these crazy things happening. And I'm not sure necessarily if it all... helps mankind necessarily, you know?
Yeah, like what am I really doing?
Yeah, listening.
But it is a culture.
It is a culture, and I'm fascinated by technology because we use it all the time as
well.
Yeah,
and we are fascinated by it, you know?
And listening to her talk, and first of all, Tim Ferriss goes, "No, what makes you so successful? You know, are you different than anybody else? What makes you different?" And he goes, "I am no smarter than anybody else except that I am..." Well, she might have said I'm smarter. I don't know. But she says, I work a lot harder than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I just work a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stop. If I'm asking questions, I don't ask the same questions. If I see when I'm doing something for Yahoo, such as I needed information on why this breach happened. I found out about the breach. I was the one that broke the breach of 500 million Yahoo people were breached.
Right.
They weren't responding to my questions. They weren't asking, you know, I'm like, you're going to have to answer these questions or I'm going to write a piece without your input.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be very favorable. And she says, I look at a situation, I go, what are the 10 reasons this could be happening? And I investigate all 10 reasons I think it could be happening. And then I figure it out, you know.
Was it the Russians, by the way, that did that? The Yahoo breach?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But they would think, why'd you guys let it happen? Mm-hmm. You know, what I found interesting though, she goes, some reporters literally just dictate what they're being told. Well, that's not reporting. That's just literally being their sound man. You know, here's what I'm telling you. I'm going to, you know, then now write it and go ahead. You know, you're my publicist, but I'm a reporter. I'm supposed to find out really what the issues are. And so I dug it, and I dug the fact that she was just tenacious, and she liked that about herself.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it was funny, if I can say, the level of BS in that area. Just the it seems like there's a lot of stroking of egos from that level. Mm-hmm. And I can understand it. I mean, when I was growing up, if you were a millionaire, oh, you're a millionaire, awesome, go, you know. And I was talking to David and Hillary, who are younger than me. I said, do you guys ever think about $1 million being a lot, or is it just now all billions? Like, oh my God, you're a billionaire? And like, no, it's the billions. It's the billions that make you this super, you know.
Superstar,
you know. And it's just, it's fascinating to me mm-hmm. where the average income hasn't changed, but the rich have gotten 10 times richer. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, 100 times richer.
Well, and also, I guess what you're saying is the ceiling has moved higher and
the
higher.
The ceiling keeps moving higher.
Reminds me of that interview. Was it, who's the Hetfield? Hetfield?
Yes.
From Metallica? Mm-hmm. Is it Mike?
James.
James Hetfield. And he lived in San Francisco, Silicon Valley. And he said, you know, when I first moved there, and I, you know, because it comes with a certain culture, and mm-hmm. I thought everybody's all equal, and
right.
they're very, you know, green open-minded, thinkers and
yeah.
open-minded. And he said, over time, I realized that they were just that, you know, if you didn't follow their formula,
their open-mindedness, yeah.
If you weren't part of them, then you were kind of ostracized. And he said, I really started to not enjoy the culture.
Yeah.
And I think he moved to Vail or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, someplace like on that. A mountain or yeah. something. But found his, you know.
His
what,
tribe in some sense. His,
yeah, found what he needed. But when he started describing what that Silicon Valley culture is, I didn't find it attractive at all.
No.
The ego, the enormous amount of money. And I don't know if they're, you know, because you feel that, like with, who's the Microsoft guy?
Yeah.
Come on.
I would have known it a second ago.
I keep wanting to say Steve Jobs, and it's not.
No.
But yeah, but there's a certain amount of community.
Right.
There's service, there's charity, there's, I don't really see that.
Right.
Here.
Melissa, why can't I think of his name?
It's a G? Yeah.
Gates.
Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
God, the Melissa and Bill Gates Foundation.
Yeah,
or Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation. Yeah, isn't that funny? It just like just left my
brain
for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you wonder about that, and she would talk about how, you know, she felt it was her job to take these billionaires down a notch or two because she knew them before they were billionaires.
Right.
You know, and so
I remember seeing a House Hunters International.
Yeah.
And it was a young couple.
Yeah.
They were in Paris, and they wanted to find something to refurbish. And it was, you know, a couple million.
Yeah.
And it was a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Paris, couple million, crap.
Yeah. And but it had potential. And mm-hmm. And he was saying, yeah, but I'm in the midst of a startup, and if it even does remotely good, I'll have way more than enough money
right.
to do whatever I want to do.
Right. And you're like, okay.
I mean, even with a crappy startup,
yeah.
the money is, we just don't get it. We don't get that kind of income.
Right.
Even somebody that has a great wage, we're not, they still are work, you know.
Right. No, it was just, it's a different game.
It's a different
that
game.
That people are about, that culture is playing by.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, a startup means you're working really hard. You have a chance of losing all your money.
You go to Thailand.
And in their mind, startup is I'm gathering money from investors.
Investors and angels.
And I'll be okay. I'll be living off that money too and working hard and hiring good people and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And mm-hmm. and it may or may not work. And I remember somewhere, I think Tim Ferriss was talking about how in India, they really believe that like startups, like 50% or more, should succeed. They're not going to invest in things that are not going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But in the States, it's literally like, you know, 10% will succeed.
Oh, really?
And that's okay. Because when they do succeed, they make the billions.
Mm-hmm.
But when they don't succeed, you know, like, no problem, move on, get going, you know?
Right.
So, and I'm not really 100% sure of my figures, but mm-hmm. that's the gifs
but, yeah.
of it all.
Right.
It's the gifs. But, yeah, so it's been a very weird week. And I think being the second week of President Trump's...
Yeah.
I've I feel the way I've always felt, which is like, I just hope he does well. And I'm almost tired of talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm bringing it up again. And and I do feel that what he does that's different than President Barack or President Bush is that because he's so savvy with the media and the technology, he's engaging more people that way. And so he will just be more in our daily lives because of this.
Right.
Because of the Twitter, because of the thing. And I know he's on Snapchat, and I love Snapchat.
Is he on Snapchat?
Yes. And I think I was like, oh my God, I should follow him on Snapchat. I don't know why. Why? I mean,
I kind of like Snapchat too, because at least I'm, of course, I'm not inundated with it. But I like the fact that it goes away.
It
doesn't fill up your memory.
Not at all. But it's interesting because the one thing I do, I mean, I have to trust that our government works appropriately. And
it is, I gave you the evil eye.
You did. I'm like, well, I mean, overall.
Yeah, it has to.
It has to. It's going to be fine. We're going to be okay.
People
no
like
what.
Steve Bannon being advisor to the president.
Right. I mean, and so, and I think to myself, I don't even care anymore. You know? Yeah. I mean, I just don't even know. It doesn't even, because I can't. I got too much stuff to think about, and I hope that there's enough people in play that.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of checks and balances.
Yeah.
Thank God for those founding fathers and their great vision. I'm serious. I'm serious.
I know, I agree. I agree. Thank you, founding fathers. Thank you. Okay, you ready to move on? We're going to do a little movie time.
You bet. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So here we are. We're not going to discuss movies. We might discuss a little bit, but we're going to discuss Stranger Things and do our review.
Yay! We didn't see movies, but the girlfriends here... We looked at our budget, and, you know, $3.50 for a movie a week, and we said, Netflix.
I've been resisting Netflix forever.
$8 a month.
Yeah.
First month free.
And I have only one reason why I've been resisting Netflix is because of the binging on TV thing.
Yes.
I'm like afraid.
Yes.
And it happened last night for the first time.
I know. We binge watched.
Stranger Things
and OMG.
I find it
so good.
Sweet, yes. And so a little good. Scary.
And I was like so impressed that I felt that it was really good quality movie making, you know. And I don't know what I expected, but I was like there's these scenes where there's school kids and stuff. I'm like, all those kids got, you know, jobs as extras, and I just felt like, wow, we're really becoming this really entertainment hub or whatever.
Well, you know, you had given Dad a New Year's resolution of being an extra.
I did.
Because there's so much filmed in Chicago.
A fun solution.
Yeah,
There's Chicago PD, there's Chicago Med, there's Chicago Fire.
You need an extra somewhere. Why not? You know, they need those guys. And so, I mean, you're right. And I heard somebody say it's really the golden age of television right now. And people are like, oh, there's just crap on. No, really, there's so much content out there that...
I don't know how you... And the fact that people are saying that, you know, it's no longer appointment TV.
No,
which meant that, oh my God, 8 o'clock on Thursday, I got to be in front of my TV set.
Nope.
N-O.
Nope.
And this is like... Awesome.
The golden age of television.
I mean, it is so awesome.
And so like in some ways I can literally justify for people, well, I can see why you can, you know, watch TV for 60 hours a week. There is some good stuff out there.
I mean, to be really honest, we watched about 4 hours
of
Stranger Things. We watched 4 episodes.
It was terrible.
And we just kept going, can we have one more? And I was just like,
one more minute? Do we have
one more? But... It's 10 episodes.
I don't really know for sure. I believe it's 10 episodes. Uh-huh. I have, I hope that it has a satisfying ending to the season.
Me too.
But I hear a lot about it, so I'm thinking,
But it's all about these four kids, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're kind of become minor celebrities in their own right.
Right.
You said they're British, which I find crazy.
I swear they're British. I believe they're British. I think I've heard them speak and they have a British accent.
That's crazy.
I know.
Because it's reminiscent of like Stephen King's Stand By Me or
yes,
and the Goonies in the sense of these. What is it?
The font for the credits remind me of that Stephen King era and like Pet Sematary or Salem's Lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it reminds me literally of the 80s. And mm-hmm. I think that's where it's filmed at. It just is.
It takes place in the 80s. Yeah. Yeah.
And just the idea that they didn't have all the technology stuff to.
Which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
It's scary. So you're just literally.
You are scary because you don't have the technology yeah. to. Alexa, call 911. The yeah. house is being. No. Somebody's trying to break in the house. You like.
Yeah.
You like run out the other side.
Exactly.
You know? But Winona Ryder stars in this. And I said to Julie, I go, I am really impressed with her acting. She's doing a great job
yep.
of acting. And I think this will be a boon for her career.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. You.
I mean, she's letting it. All hang out. She's putting it all down on the table.
Oh, yeah.
She's not leaving anything behind.
I mean, the first episode, I'm not going to tell anything about the plot, just in case you want to binge on it, even though we're probably the last person to binge on Stranger Things.
Like, boring.
Yeah. But, you know, she had the ugly cry. It seems like she's had the ugly cry from day one, you know.
100%.
Or just be like right there, like, what the hell's yeah. going on in my life?
Not just ugly cry face, but ugly hair face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly.
Ugly, tired face.
Exactly, yeah. exactly.
Because some people do cry pretty, but
No.
I know I don't cry pretty. I cry ugly.
Oh, that's not true.
Winona cries ugly.
You cry very pretty.
Do I cry pretty?
Yes.
Aww,
you cry you. Pretty, but not. I mean, you know. We don't
it ain't pretty, but it's gritty.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So how many Sherpa hats would you get
oh,
this
my
so
God.
Far?
Out of four?
Yes.
Four.
Awesome.
Without a doubt.
Four. I like it.
Without
a
doubt,
too. I yeah. get the first episode, though. I have to say, I was a little taken back because I didn't know how it was going to be. I was.
We don't know anything about it.
Oh, just that everybody talks about it, but gives nothing away.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I was happy to watch it and enjoyed it. And I have a few regrets today, only because.
Yes.
Yeah, you had to ask me, did you get this done? I'm like, now you saw me binge this with you, right? You did see me do that, right? And did you wake up early and do this? I'm like, oh. And, you know, in some days you want to just have the TV hangover where you're like, oh, my God.
And we do. I know I do.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, do I want to go out today or do I want to finish up the final six episodes, you know?
Right. I'm like, you want to get out today.
Did we, by any chance, do Girl in a Train last week?
Well, I've not let you do it real quick.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if I did it or not. But we did rent Girl in a Train. And out of four Sherpa hats, I would say, because I had heard a lot about this.
Right.
It was so suspenseful and
right,
good
based
and
on
stuff.
The book.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh. I would say two Sherpa hats.
I would really? Say That's all you're giving it?
Yeah.
I would have given it three.
Would you have?
Yeah.
Because at some point, you're like, I don't even care who done it.
Right. Okay, it was a little long.
Now I don't care.
It was a little long, and none of the characters were that...
Redeeming
at all.
Or likable.
You're like, God, you're...
Nobody's likable.
There's a point where you're going, mm-hmm. yeah, you may be cute, but gosh, no one's got any...
And this, it begs a point, and I brought this up to Julie, I brought this up
you
to
did?
Normano.
Okay, what was
Here's
it?
Here's the point. Why in God's name, if you're hiring a nanny,
oh, yeah.
do you hire the most bodacious, big-tittied, blonde,
yeah.
you know, young? Why do that?
Now, you're saying this because that is a reference to the movie.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It is also a reference to Flip and Flop.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Supposedly.
Tarek and Christina.
Yeah. One of the rumors is Tarek had an affair with his nanny.
Both nannies.
With both nannies.
Yeah. Not only does she hire one great-looking nanny with
yeah.
big boobs, two great-looking nannies.
And
then I started thinking about Bennifer, you know,
yeah,
Ben Affleck.
Supposedly he had it.
And then I remember Robin Williams.
He married his nanny.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, if I'm going to have me a nanny.
Right.
I'm going to have kind of like a 65-year-old, I don't know. Well, you know who did it right on The Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
PK and Dorit. He's a manager of Boy George and other, right. I don't know, in British. And they live in Beverly Hills. But their nanny is probably about a 60-year-old nurse.
Yeah, and she's a nurse. And so, and she comes out dressed as a nurse.
And she, and you know, maybe she's like 60 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
For Hollywood standards.
Yeah, by Hollywood standards.
By Wisconsin or Midwest standards.
Like, by Baraboo, Wisconsin. She's the average weight.
Yeah, she's slight.
She's nice.
She's a more cheese.
That's why I always say, I'm going to move to Baraboo. I'm skinny there.
Yeah. It is all perspective, right?
It is.
But that's the thing. And I thought to myself, I agree. Why?
Because we were listening to on Adam Carolla's podcast, Jenna Elfman and her husband Bodie Elfman.
Yes,
and he told her that they're both Scientologists, not really important to this conversation. Right. But he told her that he wanted to have an affair. He was getting kind of feeling claustrophobic,
right.
and he wanted to have an affair with the nanny or the nannies and stuff.
He said he wanted to have affairs with, like, college-age kids, cheerleaders, you know, and, you know, just that age, like nannies, you know, and all that stuff.
And he wanted to ask her permission first.
Yes, because they're so close.
Yeah, because they're just best friends, yeah. too, you know. Oh, so cool. So, I'm smoking a cigarette now. That's so cool. She agreed that he could, you know. And he said, well, I wanted to have one with our nanny because she's so gorgeous. And I think Adam said, why in the hell?
Yeah, why would you
did
do
you
that?
Hire a great-looking nanny? Yeah. And she said,
well, I like looking at pretty things, too.
I like having pretty things around. And pretty little things around.
Really? Yeah, I think that's just crazy.
Really?
I think there's a lot of nannies who are, quote-unquote, wanting to get into the business. And so
they're
like star wannabes, mm-hmm. and you know. And so
What is your occupation? I'm a nanny.
Yeah. Really. What really are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm taking acting classes and so forth. But
I'm wearing my presidential knee pads.
Right. And you know, I just don't know. It just seems so stupid.
It really is beyond me.
And I'll tell you why, because here. I could be wrong. So then, you know,
it's like being on a diet and bringing in these fabulous chocolate chip cookies into the house.
Yes,
and just sitting there looking every day.
And I'm going to partake. I will partake.
And the chocolate chip cookies have, like, their little chocolate chips are sticking out real big and chunky.
They're like, come to me.
And they're really moist.
Put me in your mouth.
Yes.
And then
all of a sudden there's a big glass of milk next to it. And you're like,
wait, am I not supposed to be off carbs this week? Wait, exactly. But, you know, I also think, too, like, so if you get this beautiful younger version, you know, or whatever, and she's taking care of your kids. And maybe you see her being really nurturing towards your kids, where the mom may have stuff to do.
Yeah, yeah. The mom's busy momageering your career.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, it is very odd. I don't know why. I think it's just the stupidest idea ever.
Now, how did I get to Girl in a Train?
Yes. Because it's like that.
Yes, because there is that element in the movie where...
But you're right, and going to Girl on a Train, I give it 3 stars, and you know why? 3 Sherpa hats, you know why?
No.
It had a very satisfying ending for me. A very satisfying
ending.
Oh, yeah,
the guy dies.
And I think you could watch...
Oh, excuse me.
We don't know what guy dies.
Put your fingers in your ears.
Yeah.
Oh, Jilly, come on. Come on. We all got our big girl panties on here. The guy dies.
Do. I'm not telling you which one.
And I'm not telling you how.
No, exactly.
Oh, that needle or what is it? Scissors in the chest?
I don't know if that's how it happened.
Scissors in the chest?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Ice pick in the chest.
I don't know. That sounds a little bit like, I don't know, Sharon Stone. I don't know what it was. But it was
satisfying.
Well, because there were some things that happened in the last half hour that I was like, oh, that's a revelation. That took me for a little bit of a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one opinion of the characters, and they switched it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
they switched it a lot.
And that felt satisfying. So
yeah.
I would say don't see the first 10 minutes and the last 45.
Yeah, that's we said that about the accountant.
Right. The middle part is not that important.
Yeah. The accountant is the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be, I think we're inventing a new genre.
Yes.
We just skipped the middle.
We're going to cliff note it.
we have a movie and we just skipped the middle part.
But I'll tell you what, you give me a satisfying ending, that 2-star movie turns into a 3-star movie. A 3 Sherpa hat movie for sure. And I want directors to really realize that.
Okay.
Because give us a satisfying ending. You don't have to give me a, you know, so modern, you mm-hmm. know, mod, that's a mod or whatever.
Or
meta, yeah,
meta modern.
You know, I really want to be satisfied at the end. Before we move on to, I just want to say there's a commercial that I really love, and
what is it?
It is a commercial about this. So these older guys are at a diner. And they're talking, and then Chuck Norris walks in.
Oh yeah, I love that commercial.
And he said that he goes, I wonder if Chuck Norris still has.
Has it in him, yeah.
Yeah. And they throw a... And before this, they're talking about Chuck Norris jokes. Like, oh, I heard yada, 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 you know.
Chuck Norris is so scary that the boogeyman hides under the bed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's great. Remember about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago?
No, listen, I put Chuck Norris in my book that I wrote. Oh, my God, the name of it. Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Sinkhole de Mayo.
That's right.
At the very end, I had to have a celebrity that came in to save the day, and I put Chuck Norris in.
Yeah. You're like, cool.
People are going, wait, what? What did you just say?
Yeah, Sinkhole de Mayo?
What the hell?
Get it on Amazon. You can get it in your Kindle.
Sinkhole de Mayo.
If you like a little sinkhole with Cinco de Mayo and a little bit of wrestling and a little bit of Nazis.
Yeah, wrestlers.
That's the book you got to go for.
And Nazis. Yeah. And time travel. It's just one of those... meta-modern books.
I go back and read that once in a while, and it's like, you had to have been on drugs.
I was on drugs.
Okay, fine. Hard narcotics. Because I'm just like, where'd this come from? Yeah. The bell? The time travel bell? What
the Nazis? Is
Yeah, the Nazis?
Wrestlers?
What creatures are underneath the sinkhole? I'm like, what the hell is going on, Mom, during this time?
It all started with Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yeah, so Sinkhole de Mayo, it's a book written by, I don't know what you called yourself.
C.D. Peters.
Okay, that's your pen name, C.D. Yeah. Peters.
Which happens to be my name.
Yeah, more like... crazy crap to come from C.D. Peters. I shouldn't call it crap, but it's sort of like... just crazy.
Are you kidding me? Somebody wants to option it and put it on Netflix? I'm here.
Done. Well, when
I could see that as a Netflix.
I really can too. I literally, someone.
It could be a season of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Because there is children in it. So if they use those kids again.
Yeah, that's true.
You could do it. Yeah.
It could be there. You ready for a little pillar talk?
Oh, are we not having any Elliot's Corner today?
Good. Ready for a little Elliot's Corner? Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Okay, here we are at Elliot's Corner. And I have nothing to say about Elliot this week.
I don't either.
Because he bit me yesterday.
That was crazy. But not bad.
Well, he got blood.
Oh, sorry.
And it was my fault. I will say it was my fault.
Mm-hmm. And it's your fault, Eddie.
Well, because I put my hand in his mouth while he was going crazy.
Yeah. I don't know why you did that.
Well, because I wanted not to... He was growling at me because he has a car issue.
He does.
And for whatever reason...
I know. Dad said, let him be out of the crate.
Yeah, he gets crated, which is totally... He's perfect. He's fine.
Especially, he's fine when you're just driving and everything. But when you go to like a mall or a shopping thing and he sees people, he goes ape crap.
Right.
So I always take a blanket and put it over his crate so he can't see anything. Yeah. But Dad said...
Let him run free.
Let him be free. Take the crate out.
When I come back, he wants to attack me because he doesn't like anybody come into the car. I mean, it's just ridiculous behavior.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, maybe I'll put my hand to his face so he can know it's me. because I'm thinking he can't see me. I don't know what the deal is. And then, of course, he bites me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you little stinker.
You know,
not like he
broke through your coat. Yeah,
my coat. But he drew a little blood.
Yeah, I was sorry about that.
That's okay. I was upset with him though.
Yeah, I know you were. Well, we took him to our Ashton clinic, and this place is different than our vet, but we love this place probably just as much, if not more. And Julie took Elliot in to get him his tick medicine or whatever. And there was another Wheaton Terrier sitting, waiting to see the vet
there.
Yeah,
he was 13.
And yeah, you went over and said, oh my God, is it another Wheaton Terrier? And he was just sitting on the owner's lap.
Yeah.
Very peaceful, very
Baxter.
Calm. And Baxter. And she said, well, how old is he? And 13. And she goes, how old is your little Elliot? Yeah. And you go, 2. And she went,
Oh, I remember those days.
Oh, I remember. And so there, that kind of was like, there's hope that between 2 and 13, there's like
a calming of the storm.
A calming.
He's really a good dog, and he's a sweetheart. He just has some issues. And these are issues that probably could be trained out of him, but I have such zero motivation or time for this.
To train him?
Yeah, I know it would fall on me. I mean, to do it.
Well, I was like, Dad was just baiting him yesterday
right.
in the car while you were, inside the store. And I said, if you're going to do that, you should train him because what you're doing is baiting him without any training.
Right, exactly.
And I said, I told him, I go, it's kind of cruel.
Yeah.
To do that.
Right.
And so then he threw a, towel over his head or something.
Yeah, it is. Just threw a towel over his head.
So he couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
So
hysterical. Yeah. He just threw a towel over him.
He did.
What's going on?
Yeah, for 3 seconds, he's like, I can't see anything.
But Normano just really wanted to go without the crate.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why? What is this about?
I don't know. And he gets his way.
I know, because we just don't want to. He breaks us down.
Yeah, he breaks us down a lot.
But yeah, so I don't know. We have Elliot's Corner because we, like a lot of people, are just in love with their animals. They make our lives so sweet. And I totally believe you can learn a lot from your dog. And I'm not sure what I learned from Elliot, except that sometimes you just need to go into a crate and chill out. And
sometimes you just need to put the blanket over your head.
Put the blanket over your head.
And not see anything.
Exactly.
And just like, okay, I can't see anything. I'm okay now.
Before I was sensory overload. Now I'm not. I'm content.
Seriously.
I'm in a little ball. No, exactly.
And someday, and to always remember that every Elliot can grow up to be a Baxter.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we got at least 11 more years or 12 more years with this dog. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Now are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Yes.
You know, we always save the best for last, and we always save not enough time to talk about pillar talk. And
how much time do we have?
4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, most. Goodness. I'll talk like this then.
Yeah.
I'll talk like those disclaimers at the end of an ad.
And what pillar talk is about is a little more formal training and coaching and how to make our lives better, because we all have these dreams and goals. You know, you talk about it being God's dreams and goals are inside you.
Right.
And there is... there is reference in the Bible that talks about, hey, don't worry about your dreams and goals matching with God, because a lot of God has put those in there. And you know internally, is this an ego-based thing or is this meant for me? Like, as God said, hey,
and
work
on this.
And
that's up to you to know that, you know.
Yeah. And there are times when if you step back and you can see your life and it's full, you don't realize all the people you've touched and helped and how you've contributed to the bigger picture, and you just don't know it. You know, I really believe that we may never, never know the contribution we've made to this world.
At least not in this world. We won't know.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's our job to keep doing it, keep contributing the best we can and so forth. But we're listening to Joel Osteen. Like I said, he is very much, in sync to what I believe.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's like our doppelganger.
Yeah.
If we had to define ourselves... and branded, I would say we try to be inspirational,
I try to be a little more real because I understand people's struggles, and yet we have to decide not to focus on the past or not to focus on the struggle.
100%.
You know, and you were talking about the idea that it's really about where you feed, what you water, what you feed. We talk about the seeds. You're either seeding your past or you're seeding your future.
Right.
You're either feeding your past or you're feeding your destiny.
Yeah. Every decision you make either brings you closer to your destiny or your dreams, or takes you further away.
Right.
And hardly anything that is, oh, that's status quo. That didn't move you one tick in any direction.
What happened with that? There literally is no such thing as staying status quo. You have to work hard to stay status quo. And if you don't work at all, you just go back. You know?
Yeah.
And you got to work really harder, or put things in place to move forward. But it's so true. There's just never status quo, you know?
Right.
Exercising is a great example of this. There are times where I'm increasing my exercises and I'm like, oh, I'm still as flexible as I was previously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You have to almost... just increasing it a little bit may not really do anything, just keep you status quo. Mm-hmm. You're not going backwards. You're not mm-hmm. getting stiffer. Mm-hmm. So it's very fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like inflation. You know, if you just say $5 a week, well, that $5 really isn't $5. You know, it really is like $4.85 5 years later. You know, it's really...
How true
is
that?
It's $4.30.
Right.
$4, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking the sort of on the similar lines like that as well.
You know, so the status quo...
Doesn't exist.
You're either moving forward or going back. Mm-hmm. And through the course of your life, you go, oh, this is a time I did kind of let things slide a little bit or didn't put enough effort into it to move things mm-hmm. forward. And what Joel Osteen, what we believe in, is like what you focus on expands. We can focus on the past, we can feed our past, or we can feed our destiny. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think the word destiny is too big.
It's too big of a word.
It really, you know.
Well, who has a destiny?
Yeah, and we give it, and like it could, because it's the same thing as success. And I think people define success too weird as well.
Mm-hmm. Usually in financial terms,
right? And yeah, you can be successful financially and then have your family life be in a crapper.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be not sleeping, or you could not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a balance, but we do only have one life to live. And be happy, because it's not...
Because it's short.
And that wasn't the really reason why I said that. It was like, hey, you must be happy now because life's short. You know,
and happiness is a choice.
It is.
It really is.
It's like gratitude. We talk about with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get a gratitude journal going, because what you focus on expands. What you focus on with being grateful for things, mm-hmm. you'll get more things to be grateful for. That's like just law of attraction 101. But you can, in some ways, get to a place where you're forcing yourself to be grateful for stuff that's not really making you happy.
Well, for me, it's interesting. What works for me is this idea of feeding your history.
Yeah.
Because I understand it. My brain is sort of wired to go to my history. My brain is sort of wired to go, oh, I understand that pain.
Right.
And then that pain feeds another disappointment and another thing. And then all of a sudden... oh, yeah, wait a minute, why bother?
Right.
Because I know how this story ends,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
And so I understand this idea of feeding your history, and I understand the repercussions
right.
of doing that.
Right.
And so it's an interesting idea of switching, to take or turn the switch off.
For sure.
And at the very least, you go, wait a minute, I don't want to put any rent into that mental real estate anymore.
Oh yeah, that's exactly
right. I don't want to do that. And then to make the switch to, okay, how do I put, you know, how do I feed my destiny?
Right. And I like the way you put that, your mental real estate, because we only have a finite place in there. And sometimes you got to do a little clearing the clutter.
Right.
Create some space so that you can put new stuff in there.
Yeah.
Because
it's not Trump Towers.
No. We could keep building up and up and up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I hope you liked our show today. It was a great show, girlfriend. I love you so much.
I love you too. I love the way you tell people. Yeah, it's a great show. Yeah.
Go to our website, ChristyMarieAngelou.com, or our new one, ConsciousCommunity.com. And we've got some cool challenges coming up. Just got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, we do. And if you want to email us, talk to us at ChristyMarieAngelou. And you know what, sweetie? It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.